Take your Bible, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 18 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 18. I think they're going to turn that mic off and I can turn mine on, right? But we're good. Maybe. Hooray. Okay. Hey, I hear myself. What a blessing. 2 Samuel chapter 18, if you would. Might also add, pray for Brother Ms. Blanton there. Brother Blanton sent me a text and said that he's got a real bad sore throat this morning, so not able to be here. And I think his wife had texted my wife and said she is up most of the night. I don't know if it's trying to take care of him or, you know, or she's sick too. No telling. So, but anyhow, you take care. You pray for them if you would. And all right. All right, pray for Brother Mark Graham. Not here this morning, stepped on some glass, understand, and cut his foot up pretty bad, so he's at the emergency room. That's for sure, so watch out. Pray, you know, watch out where you put your foot, you know. But do pray for those folks, if you will. Remember them in prayer. And I hope you've seen the work in the foyer. It's mostly finished. Mostly there's a few little things to be finished off, all right? But so we're glad to have that all operational. And so I appreciate, especially, boy, we've had some folks that came and spent some extra time and elbow grease cleaning. The people that did the work cleaned, but folks in our church came and really cleaned, all right? And so cleaned it up real good. And but I appreciate them putting in some hours this week doing that and getting it in good shape, and that it is a good thing. I'm glad to have my shelf back out there so I can go out and lay my Bible there, and I'm glad to have a place to sit down again over there. But anyway, now, those chairs are not for you to sit in during the preaching. You're supposed to be in here during that time, all right? So don't plant it in the wrong place, all right? All right, you're there in 2 Samuel chapter 18. I just want to read one verse this morning, verse 18. The Bible says, "Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place." Absalom's place. I suppose everyone at some time or another has had a dream of having his own place, right? You know, having my own special place, a place, as I said, special to you, and one that belongs to you and only you. And, well, the Bible tells us Absalom must have been that way. He was looking at it and thinking, oh, you know, I don't have any sons. Maybe he was concerned about his memory being carried on, you know, and a concern he didn't have any sons to carry that name on and to keep it going. So he decided, the thing for me to do is to erect this pillar, a monument, all right, if you will, to himself. Who better to put a monument to than to yourself, right? And so he did it. I believe old Absalom wanted folks to remember him. And in a way, he was successful, sort of, all right? The monument lasted for a good while. There for a long time, Absalom had a place there. And above that, he has a place in the Bible and in Bible history today. We know the name Absalom. And we're going to take a look this morning and at Absalom's place. And I want to kind of challenge you to look, as we look at his place, won't you decide, is your place going to be like his place. You see, Absalom, man, he had it all, really. He had the ability. He had the looks. He had the pedigree. He was the son of the king. He had, you know, everything that you could have wanted. He had a winning way, you know, about him, but he was a total failure. And his place is what we're going to look at this morning, all right? Because first of all, I want you to see this. It was a place of revenge. Revenge. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, go back to 2 Samuel chapter 13, would you? 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13, I want you to look down here in verse 22. Verse 22 says this, "And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon, because he had forced his sister Tamar." Absalom was not a man to forgive and forget. Forgiveness was not in his vocabulary. He was not willing to forget it whatsoever. Absalom had, he hated Amnon because of what Amnon had done to his sister. And what Amnon had done was wrong, 100% wrong. Nothing right about what he had done. And because of what he had done, Absalom absolutely hated him. And one thing old Absalom knew how to do, he knew how to carry a grudge. I see people today that are good at it, all right? He had a desire, and his desire was, I'll get even. I think there's still a little statue about this tall ceramic thing back in my old office in the church here that has an inscription on it that says, I don't get mad, I just get even. And maybe that would have went for Absalom. He wanted revenge on Amnon for the wrong that Amnon had committed. He said, I'm determined he's not going to get away with it. I'm going to wreak vengeance upon him. And he got his revenge, all right? He saw to it that Amnon also was killed. He set the stage up, set things up where Amnon would have to pay the supreme price for what he had done. He was killed. And he saw to it. But here's the problem. That wasn't Absalom's place to do that. Absalom wasn't the one that was in charge of seeing to it that Amnon paid for his crime and for his sin. That wasn't his job. Absalom's place was one of revenge. And I want to ask you, are you geared that way? Somebody wronged you. You've decided my day will come. I'll get even with him. I'll see to it that that person does not get away with what they've done. And I'm going to see. Now, maybe it's not as serious a thing as what Amnon did. And I've noticed in our world today, it doesn't have to be big things. All you got to do is kind of push somebody in the wrong direction nowadays. And they decide, I'm going to get even with you. We've kind of see that going on in our day. People are attacking Tesla vehicles and Tesla dealerships because they're angry with the guy that owns Tesla. What a stupid idea was to, we're going to wreak vengeance on him. Hey, can I say this? That's not your job. It's not your job. It's not your job to seek vengeance. It's not your job to get revenge. When you set out to do that, what you do is you bear a grudge within you, and it ruins you. Hey, I want to tell you, it ruined Absalom. We'll see that as we go along, because his place was a place of revenge, but not only was it revenge, place of revenge, it was a place of resentment. Because after Absalom had his brother killed, he didn't like the way he got treated. For some reason, folks didn't think it was right for Absalom to do what he did, to kill his own half-brother. And so they kind of shunned him. They sent him away. Well, Absalom, hey, he resented that. How dare them mistreat me? Because I am Mr. Wonderful. Hey, that's the view people have of themselves, you know. How dare you mistreat me? I guess he figured the way a lot of people seem to figure today. Hey, everyone ought to just overlook what I've done. Maybe it wasn't the right thing, but overlook it. You know, two wrongs make a right every time, right? Well, of course not. Of course not. But man, it's amazing how folks in our day even resent what happens when they bring the problem on themselves. I don't like it. Well, wait a minute. I don't care. Folks shouldn't treat me that way. I resent that. Well, you brought it on yourself, okay? It's not our fault. You did it. You did it. It's not somebody else's job to take care of. Absalom didn't like it. He didn't like it because his dad, the king, didn't bring him back in the palace area and say, man, there, let's let bygones be bygones and just forget it, not worry about it whatsoever. Everything's good. Everything's okay. He didn't do that, all right? And boy, Absalom resented that, all right? He just resented it. And go with me, if you will, to chapter 14, 2 Samuel 14, and look at verse 32. Joab came to see. In verse 32, and Absalom answered Joab, behold, I send unto thee, saying, come hither, that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face. And if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. Hey, he still didn't like it because he didn't feel like Dad had completely forgiven him. He resented that treatment. You know, we do something and we cause somebody to treat us differently and then we resent the treatment we've gotten. Hey, that's your fault. You brought it on yourself. So here's Absalom. Absalom placed revenge. Revenge. But not only a place of revenge, a place of resentment. He resented the things that were going. But wait a minute, it didn't stop there. Absalom's place was a place of rebellion. Look in chapter 15. Look in chapter 15. Look at verse 6. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Hey, Absalom had decided, you know what? What this world needs is me to be the king. And what the nation of Israel needs is me to be sitting on the throne. So he did what people do. He set out to steal the hearts of people. And he stole their hearts. And the way he did it was by appealing to them and saying, boy, you've got a cause there and it's a shame nobody's here to judgment. It would be so good if somebody was here and I'd like to be the man to do it. Boy, he ingratiated himself to all the land. Stole the hearts of those people. But you know, the thing that amazes me the most is the one he was rebelling against was his own dad. His own dad. Now, can I tell you something? I'll never understand that. I'll never understand that. Just never understand that rebellion against dad. Hey, you young people that are here, your dad may not be the world's best. But you ought not to rebel against him. You ought not to rebel against him. There ought to be something in you that says, he's my dad, and I could never do that. I could never do that. And I won't ever do it. Hey, you ought to be geared that way. How Absalom did what he did is beyond me. But he labored because he was more concerned about himself than he was his dad and the king, and he thought, man, I need to be here. We need to push Dad off the throne. We need to push him out of the picture. But wait a minute, when you do that, you not only, can I say this to you, if you rebel against your dad, you're rebelling against God. Because dad's the God-appointed authority. When you rebel against any authority, you're rebelling against God. Because God instituted that one, placed that one in authority. You got to watch out when you do that. You better be extremely careful before you take that step. I do not enjoy looking up in my mirror and seeing the vehicle behind me with the extra lights. And I really do not enjoy it when those extra lights are flashing. And when I pull over and they pull over, I'm really not a happy camper. Now, if I pull over and they go past, glory to God, there's rejoicing, all right? Man, if I pull over, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Well, wait a minute. God instituted authority. God instituted authority. And we're to submit to authority. And in all realms. There, in the home, the authority resides in dad. The authority resides in the parents. That's where the authority resides. In the church, be honest now, the authority resides with the pastor. You say, wait a minute, he's not to be, I didn't say he's to be a dictator. But that's where the authority resides, all right? Not to tell you everything, but is only in the sense of spiritual authority. That's the authority. In the world, there's authority. There's policemen. There's folks that are in authority. We elect a president. That's the authority. There's been numerous presidents that I disagreed with vehemently. But they still had the authority. They still had the authority. It was not my job to rebel against that authority. I can vote against it. I can protest. But I got to be careful. All right? It's instituted. Yeah, you better be careful. When you rebel against authority, you're rebelling against God. And you can't rebel against your dad. You can't rebel against any legal authority without rebelling against God. So here's Absalom's place. It's a place of revenge. It's a place of resentment. It's a place of rebellion. All of that. But wait a minute. Would you look there in chapter 18 with me? And I want you to look in verse 9. Verse 9. Absalom read the rebellion. Really, what we're going through real quickly is the life story of Absalom. Bing, 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 all right? But in verse 9, it says this, and Absalom met the servants of David. They're fighting against his forces, are fighting against David's forces. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode under a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. Brother Lester Roloff preached a sermon entitled, And the Mule Walked On, all right? Not going to preach that this morning, but don't you drop down to verse 14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And Absalom had a head of hair like nobody's business. He went under that oak's hair, got caught up in it, and the mule walked on, left him dangling there. And boy, you talk about being helpless, you're helpless. There he was. Joab came up on the scene and he killed Absalom. He took his life. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. You can just mark it down. Anytime somebody has a vengeful spirit coupled with an attitude of resentment, rebellion will come forth. However, just as surely, rebellion will bring retribution. There's going to be a price to pay. It will not go unpunished. You can go back and look here and you'll see where David asked his men to be gentle with Absalom. He asked them to deal gently. Even after that son had did what he did to his own dad and led a rebellion that cost the lives of some of the men of David, even after he had done that, David requested, look, would you be gentle with him? So Joab gently took 3 darts and thrust them through his heart. Said, why? Because rebellion brings retribution. Hey, there's going to be a price to pay, all right? There's always going to be a payday for sin. And what Absalom had done was he had sinned. You sin, there will be a payday. We live in a wonderland. And some people live in a world of their own creation, and they think, I can live the way I want, I can do what I want, and nobody's going to stop it. Well, mark her down, God will. God will bring his judgment on you. Now, they may not thrust you through the heart, but if you ever wonder, why am I having so much trouble in life? Why is it just it seems like nothing goes right for me? Check your life. Is it right with God? You see, sin always extracts a price. There's always a price to pay. You'll pay it, I'll pay it, you will pay. You can't get away with it. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you think you can cover it up. It'll come to light. You're going to pay a price. There's going to be a retribution. Man, it came to Absalom. Here he is. Life started, man, a man with a revengeful spirit, a resentment in him built until he rebelled against his dad. But now it's the day of retribution. And he paid for that sin. But hey, Absalom placed with all of that, but it was also a place of ruin. You read your Bible. Do you ever think what could have been? Ever think what could have been? I told you, Absalom had all that was needed for success. You could put it this way. He had a winning personality. He knew how to talk to people. The word is charismatic, you know. I mean, just people would flock to him because he was just that way. Now, maybe you've met somebody like that. They can walk into a room and all of a sudden everybody's eyes are cast there, and not because they're doing something weird or wild or wacky, all right? I mean, it's just their attention is drawn. They have that kind of charisma about them. And they can speak, they draw followers to him. Absalom had it. He was a good-looking guy. Man, he had... Everybody today thinks good looks is everything. And he had the looks. He was a good-looking fella, all right? As I said, he had the pedigree. Look, it's hard to hunt for a better family to be in than the family of the king, all right? It's hard to find a better family. Well, that was him. He had all of that. Everything going for him. But he ruined it. Ruined it, all right? My, what could have been, but what it was because of the way he lived, all right? If it hadn't been for sin, it ruined what could have been for Absalom. But wait a minute, and I'll tell you this. It ruined the nation of Israel for a while. You talk about a mess. It was a mess. His rebellion led almost immediately to another one by a fellow named Sheba. Why? Man, the nation was messed up. Nation was messed up. They'd seen the rebellion of one guy. Hey, he's the king's son. If the king's son's rebelling against him, surely there's something wrong with the king. And it caused problems for the nation, all right? It just went on and on. But it went past that. Look back in chapter 16. Look in chapter 16, would you? Chapter 16, look in verse 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Man, Absalom's counsel was sought out. He had a reputation as being the best. All right? If you want to get good information, go to Ahithophel. Talk to him. He's the guy who can help you out. If you got questions, you got problems, talk to him. See him. Go to the next chapter, though, chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 14. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Hey, this whole thing ruined the reputation of Ahithophel. Hey, it ruined what could have been for Absalom. It ruined the nation of Israel for a while. It ruined the reputation of this man, Ahithophel. Ruined his reputation. It eventually led to his death. Why? All because of that place of ruin that was Absalom's place. Hey, let me say this to you. If you're a person that can't turn loose of the thought of revenge, if you're a person that can't get over the idea, I need to get even, if you're a person that bears some resentment because of the way you've been treated because of what you did, if that resentment is in you, if you rebel, let me say this to you. There's no telling where sin, where your sin will wind up and how much damage it'll do either. A lot of people think, well, it'll only hurt me. That is dead wrong. You have no idea how far your sin can reach out and who it'll hurt. You think, well, it'll only be me. Nope. It'll be your kids. I got news for you. It'll be to affect your grandkids. It'll be to affect them. I mean, it reaches a lot farther than you think it'll reach because of your sin. Maybe other family members. It may be friends. Who knows where it'll wind up? All because you decided, I'm going to do my thing. Hey, Absalom's place was a place of revenge. It was a place of resentment. It was a place of rebellion. It was a place of retribution. It was a place of ruin. But let me say this to you. In the midst of all this bad news, it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. Things could have been so different. You see, Absalom's place could have been a place of repentance. Could have been a place of repentance. Had Absalom wanted to, he could have looked in the mirror and said, Absalom, old boy, you're the problem. You're the problem. You're out of the will of God. All right? Hey, no doubt he could have done that. There had been sin. Boy, things had been done. And what Amnon had done deserved death. Okay? But wait a minute, his dad had done something that deserved death. You take a look at old King David. The Bible records in the instance where one evening he was on the rooftop and he saw Bathsheba bathing. I won't go into the details, but eventually what he did, he called Bathsheba to him. He committed immorality with her. And she bare a son. And from that, he turned around and murdered her husband. Exactly. All of that. Hey, can I tell you this? Check out the Old Testament law. There is no payment for that sin. There is no offering that you could bring and all of the Old Testament law, there was all kinds of offerings that were brought for different sins. And God instructed his people, you pay this price for this sin, and you do this, you bring this offering for that sin. But there was none for what he did. There was no offering there. You said, how did he escape death? He repented. That's what happened. He repented, and God forgave him. You say, well, God's not fair. Wait a minute. God will forgive you if you repent. See, God's still in the forgiving business. If you'll repent, he'll forgive you. I've heard people say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I say, don't want to know what you've done. But I'm telling you that there's a God in heaven, and the God of the Bible is a God that says, if you'll repent, I'll forgive you. If you'll come to me in repentance. Hey, how different life can be if just you'll repent when you know you've done wrong. When you know you've done wrong. But you know what happens? Have you ever watched a kid who's stubborn? Just stubborn. And won't do right. Even when they're faced with the wrong that they've done. Won't do what's right. I've told you before about my cousin who he had walked over and, you know, for whatever reason, he's a little guy and there was a concrete porch and he walked over and I think he'd got mad about something and he bopped his head on that concrete porch. And his dad told him, stop it. And he looked at it and did it again. And then his dad took and wore him out. I'm sure it'd have been better if he'd have used child psychology on him. If he'd have told him you're going to mess up your brains, but he didn't do that. He wore him out, and so he said, now don't do it again. Guess what? My cousin went right back and did it again. And the same thing happened. It goes on and on. Hey, we're like that. We get stubborn. Hey, when you know you've done wrong, the wisest thing you can do is repent. It does not matter if you think you can somehow justify it in your own mind. You hear me? Doesn't matter if you can say, but I think it's okay because if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And if this book says it's sin, it's sin. It is just sin. There's no two ways about it. There's no way to jam it together. There's no way to justify it. The thing to do is repent. Man, when you know you're wrong, bless the Lord, seek the Lord, and ask God for forgiveness, repent of it, and let him do his work. Don't keep going on. Don't keep butting your head against that. Don't keep bucking against it and thinking, I'll keep on and keep on, and you got your life in a worse mess. Hey, the thing to do is repent. Yep, Absalom's place was a messed up place. Didn't have to be. Didn't have to be. The question is, will your place be like Absalom's place? Because like Absalom, there's no repentance. You're not willing to come to the Lord and say, Lord, it's me. I'm wrong. Lord, I can't fix it. I need your forgiveness. Listen, there's nothing that you've done God can't forgive. Nothing you've done God can't forgive. Hear what it is. And by the way, there's nothing so small that you ought to think, well, it's not important. Yeah, it is if it's messing your life up. It's important. It's important. Well, I've never killed anybody, okay? Doesn't mean you don't have to need to come in repentance to God. Doesn't matter what it is. You need to make it right. Absalom's place. You read through, you see that, realize he built that great pillar in his lifetime. I wonder after his death, people looked at that, what did they think? What did they think? Oh, what a great man he was. Oh, what a fool he was. Because he wouldn't repent. He wouldn't come to God and ask for God's forgiveness. Hey, my friend, how about you this morning? What's your place going to be like? Maybe even ask, what's your place like right now? Is it a place of ruin? A place of resentment, rebellion, revenge? Oh, don't let it be like that. Only you can change. Will you come to the Lord? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning because only you can help us. Lord, we come because we're needy. Lord, we can mess things up, but we can't fix them. God, would you just help us this morning to come to you? Oh, there's folks here today that need some help. They need to come in repentance. They need to bring their sin to you, ask forgiveness, to confess it and forsake it, Lord.